Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. I don't know about you, but I can't get a thread through an eye of a needle anymore. Not even with glasses, it seems like. Much less a camel. So I appreciate the humor here. It's real extravagant humor. And Jesus really gets into it, doesn't it? I mean, he's talking about chopping off hands and legs and plucking out eyes before. Remember, we had that a couple of weeks ago as a way of kind of getting people's attention. Well, this image does too. It's so extreme. I have a needle holding a camel that you have to laugh. Come on, laugh at it. It's meant to be funny. We have a lot of humor in the Bible. Now, we have a message that's important and serious, but sometimes we take these texts too seriously and we don't allow ourselves to laugh at them. And there's a lot in this section that has humor in it. There's a lot of funny stuff in here. Now, I recognize some of it is lost in translation. You know, the definition of a genius is being able to tell a joke in two different languages. Try it. I can't tell one in one sometimes. But try telling the same joke in two different languages and make a sense, it always loses something. But Jesus tells these jokes for a reason. Actually, I think for two reasons. One is because humor is always a good way of making us laugh at ourselves. Good humor. Now, there's some humor that belittles other people, some things that are called funny that aren't because they're meant to put people down. But good humor makes you laugh at yourself. The old slapstick thing about tripping over the banana peel is funny because we all have tripped up, if not literally in ways in our lives, and we know what it's like to be the visible one who flops. And we laugh because it enables us to express those fears deep down inside of us that we're going to be the one that slips and falls. Humor does that. It has a way of sort of letting us let go of stuff that just seems to bind us up sometimes. Secondly, humor helps us to realize we're not in charge of the universe. You know? Great comedians are able to make them laugh at themselves and each other by helping us kind of step back from the positions we take that we think we are in control, we're in charge, we own stuff. Both of them are at play here. Because Jesus is talking to this young man about wealth, money, possessions. And nothing gets a pastor in quicker trouble than start talking about money. You know? I mean, think of our society today, much less 2,000 years ago. You can talk about anything now, as long as you don't talk about somebody's money, their possessions, and you probably get away with it. You know? People kind of hoard. That's the last thing they don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about money. And yet Jesus has talked about it in this instance. And then he has to talk to his disciples. And the best way he breaks the ice is humor, because he can tell this one's going over like that lead balloon, you know. It ain't flying. So he makes them laugh. He makes them think about a little bit about what he's really talking about. So let's go back to that story and hear it in the context of the humor. The young man comes up to, I assume he's young, we'll take that assumption out of it, comes up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now that doesn't sound funny, but the question itself is funny. What must I do? Like, what are any of us going to do to earn God's love and grace? That's the great joke of Scripture. Is it people over and over again think they know how to make themselves pleasing to God? You know, how to make ourselves elevated in God's sight to earn whatever love and salvation and whatever comes along. And the joke is, it never works. It gets repeated throughout Scripture. People tried sacrifices. They tried following the law. They tried putting down their neighbors. They tried even killing their neighbors in a few times to please God. And you can't do enough to make yourself worthy of salvation. So this kid's in trouble. This kid, I'll use that term because I'm old enough to get away with that. This young man is in trouble right away because his focus is on what I must do. Like I control the situation. But don't laugh too hard, because that's the same trouble the disciples are having. You notice in the background, they're having a lot of trouble with this. Because like this young man, they probably bought into what we like to call the prosperity gospel, which is this notion that what we have, what we earn, what we accomplish is because we're better people and therefore more pleasing in God's sight. I hear it on the radio. I see it on the TV every day. People have a version of this going around. If you only love a little bit more, if you only believe a little bit more, if you only put $5 in that envelope to me, things that will happen to you that are good. You'll be blessed by God with a new Cadillac or something like that. I actually heard one of those the other week. I mean, isn't that funny? If you look at it, do we buy God? I mean, do we really have anything to bargain with God about? Can we really earn God's affection? Is God waiting up there saying, oh, let's see if they're good enough for me to love them? No. It's ridiculous. We should laugh at that notion because that is not what happens. Scripture is clear. We're given love as a gift. God's grace and goodness comes to us as a gift. All we have, if you want to get to what stewardship really means, we've been talking about that, is that everything belongs to God and God gives us some of that even though we don't earn it. That's the bottom line. That's the humor. That's the thing that God's trying to release here, that Jesus is really trying to draw. It ain't his. So Jesus says to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have. Yeah, that's a simple request. That's going to go over big, isn't it? It didn't work with them. The disciples are perplexed about it because they figured, well, we've done good things for Jesus. Therefore, we must have bumped up the scale a little bit higher too. And Jesus puts an end to that with this thing. Okay? The eye of the needle, the camel thing, is so ridiculous. And it makes us, hopefully, look at ourselves and laugh at the ridiculous idea that we can earn God's grace. No. It's a gift. It's poured out upon us. It's given to us as are all our possessions. Everything we have is a gift from God. Therefore, the good news of that kind of rubs us wrong. But Jesus has to use a little humor there because otherwise he's going to meet opposition to this. We don't want to hear that, but the good news of that means also that we're not responsible for the world. We're not able to do it on our own. We lay these heavy burdens on ourselves by trying to earn and please God and one another, when all we really have to do is laugh at ourselves and let go and let God. Let God's grace. With humans it is impossible. With God it is possible. Jesus saying, all things are possible. How often it is, I think Jesus focused on this, that our possessions possess us. You know? You think of the richest people you know of, they probably have security details, they have cameras, they have huge fences. You know, they spend their time protecting what they have. What is the use of having something if you're afraid to use it? I've known a couple of people who collect cars. You know my great love of sports cars. They don't drive them. They're afraid to. They're worth too much money. They're afraid that ordinary people might scratch their $1 million car. Is that really living? Now, before we get too smug about that, the humor is on us, too. Because, you see, we are the rich young man. We're on a quick poll on you, quick fun poll. How many of you are going to decide where and when you get to eat today? Come on, let's be honest. How many of you own a car or have a car available to you? How many of them actually work? Do you realize by these answers you have placed yourself in the top 10% of the world's population when it comes to wealth? We don't think about that way. We compare ourselves to Bill Gates and people like that. But we are wealthy financially, as well as we are wealthy in relationships and grace and other things. We are greatly blessed. I don't know about you, but I often wonder about this. I hear about people saying, if someone breaks in my house and steals my TV, I'm going to shoot them. Now, I understand about breaking in. I had a car stolen once, and so I know the outrage and that sense of kind of being taken over. But you're going to shoot somebody over a TV that you could afford to replace? Think about the priorities that speaks to us in our lives. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to use this humor to do, is to shake us up about our priorities. That our wealth lies not in our possessions, so those are tools we can use to bless others, but it lies in our relationship with God that we haven't earned and the people around us whom we have time, talent, and treasure to be able to be blessings for and among. If we're hoarding ourselves, if we're taking things in, if we're like this rich young man so afraid of losing things, we don't enjoy what we have. And isn't that funny? Isn't it that ridiculous funny, like a camel going through an eye of a needle? That we are blessed with these things and we can't enjoy them. When God says, it's a gift. Enjoy the gift. Enjoy life. Don't be so worried about all these things. God knows what you need. God will work with you. But your blessings, your priorities, are with God and one another. I like humor. One of my favorite song lyrics, you know the era I grew up in, was Pink Floyd's great song Money, which has this wonderful line. It says, they say the root of all evil, money is the root of all evil, but you'll notice they're not giving any of it away. Laugh, it's funny. If we talk about money as a root of evil, but I don't see any of us, you know, exactly handing away all our possessions. What if, like the person slip on the banana, we let go of the release of the laughter? What if we can laugh at ourselves, at this sense of hoarding, protecting, and wrong priorities? Just laugh and let God's grace be at work among us. Imagine what greater level of blessings we will receive in this life. And how we will move from the limits we put on ourselves and the burdens into what God might do. Because God has a way of taking very ordinary people. That motley crew of disciples around him were no prize pigs after all. And doing wondrous things to them. He takes us places we don't want to go. In areas we may not think we ought to be. But in doing so, he expands what we're capable of. Expands what we're able to experience. Broadens the blessings upon us. And that's why Jesus uses humor here. Because if he went at that directly, we'd all turn away from it. But maybe if he can get us to laugh at that notion. And that was a real place, by the way. The humor about the camel and the eye of the needle was also real. There was a gate in Jerusalem that was real narrow that became known as the camel's eye. Because the idea was you couldn't get the animals through it. You could squeeze somebody through it. And the notion was that sometimes all you need to have before God is not all the stuff you bring with you, just yourself. That's enough. Just who we are, infallible human being, is enough when God blesses us to do wondrous things. So this day, let's have some laughter. Jesus takes some hard subjects in this chapter of Mark, and in every one of them he throws humor in it so that we won't get so caught up and worried about the details, but laugh and let God grace be it. Have a good laugh. Live a bountiful life blessed by God, that you too may be a blessing for others. Amen.